Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, "For us, to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." This is Isaiah. He's a prophet of the Lord telling us about what's going to come, which is Jesus, the Messiah. He's telling us ahead of time what God is going to do. Have you ever had experience where you were waiting for something good? You're waiting for something good. Maybe it was some pizza or a double cheeseburger or a nice steak. Somebody say amen. I won't keep talking about food, and I don't want you to stumble or you'll start cheering for the sermon to be over too soon. You know, God's got something to do before lunch. I believe that. Or maybe you were waiting for some Christmas gifts to arrive in the mail because you were like me and started a little bit late. Anybody, you want to admit that? I mean, it's church. You don't have to, but we can. We honest here. Okay, Bobby, you're with me. Okay, so a couple of us running late. Maybe you're waiting on that gift in anticipation. Maybe you're waiting to hang out with a friend who just rejuvenates your soul. You just enjoy spending time with them. You're refreshed. Waiting can be a good thing. But what ends up happening in these verses is this was written 700 years before Jesus was born. Can you imagine hearing the anticipation of God is going to send the Prince of Peace, the Wonderful Counselor? He's going to send the Messiah. And everybody's like, that sounds amazing. And then a year goes by. And then 5 years goes by. And then a decade goes by. And then a generation comes and goes. And what sounded like such good news to start with now begins to maybe be something that you feel like is not going to happen. And now what Isaiah said used to be good news, but now we're not sure it's going to come to pass. Sometimes waiting, though, can be worth it. Sometimes waiting can be worth it. Look at Luke chapter 2, where we're going to be today, because what Isaiah said 700 years before the birth of Jesus, it does come to pass. And Luke chapter 2, verse 4, where we're going to be today, starts off by saying, "So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them." There's no guest room available for Jesus. Even though Isaiah said 700 years ago, hey, he's coming. The Prince of Peace, the Wonderful Counselor is coming. But over time, is it easy to lose focus? Yes, sir. Is it easy over time to maybe start to get a little apathetic? Because the Prince of Peace and Wonderful Counselor is coming, Isaiah said. And then 700 years later, there's no guest room. Can you imagine that? Isaiah was like, I tried to tell you he's coming. Some time has passed. Now we've got no guest room, and they're placing him in a manger that's meant for animals. The Prince of Peace, the Wonderful Counselor. Isaiah's got to be like, you got to be kidding me. I told you this moment was coming. But if you put yourself in their shoes, right? It's easy now to go, man, if God hasn't done something in a while, he's probably not going to do it. Maybe God's timing is different than our timing. I can have some empathy. 700 years have passed. And in that 700 years, by the way, the last 400 of them before the birth of Jesus is called by some the silent years. The silent years. It means in 400 years, the Lord has not given a prophetic word that's on par with what we read in Scripture. It means for 400 years, it feels like God hasn't said anything. And now, if God hasn't said anything, you start to really wonder, well, did Isaiah have it wrong? Did I mishear? Have you ever been there before? You thought God said something, and then it doesn't come to pass, and you start rethinking everything? And maybe you feel like right now you're here in church, you're trying to do the right thing, but you're like, I feel like God's silent. He used to say something, but I feel like he's silent right now. Can I tell you, after looking at this, that Isaiah said 700 years in advance, and even though we went through 400 years of silence, then all of a sudden Jesus is born. Can I tell you that sometimes it's silent before a breakthrough? Yeah, right. Some of y'all need to hear that. Sometimes it's silent before a breakthrough, and that can be hard, right? Any of y'all lived in a silent time before a breakthrough and you're like, I need God to speak. I need God to reassure. I need him to move. And for 400 years, he was silent. Can I tell you, sometimes that's where you determine if your faith is real or not? That's sometimes where you determine your faith is real, because God said what he said. Don't miss that today. God said what he said. 700 years ago, before the birth of Jesus, God said what he said. He said, I'm going to send the Prince of Peace. I'm going to send the Wonderful Counselor. And then everything goes silent for 400 years. And God's response, sometimes we need to be reassured. We need to be helped. I mean, sometimes it's childlike faith. Somebody say amen. Amen. Sometimes God wants to remind us, I said what I said. I said what I said. Sometimes I meet with people and I'm a pastor and I'm just being blunt, honest with you guys. That's my strength and my weakness all at the same time. Sometimes you're like, I'm so glad that he's honest. And then sometimes you're going to experience my bluntness and I'm like, I wish I didn't experience that. That was not the right thing to say. It's my strength and my weakness all at the same time. Sometimes I'm like, God, I feel like you said something, but now it's gone silent. And God's like, I said what I said, Philip. Yes. It's not that I stopped speaking. It's I said what I said. And sometimes if you feel like God's not speaking, the best thing you can do is go back to what he said. Amen. It's not that he stopped speaking. It's just he said what he said. This is why the word of God, the Bible, is so important, is God said what he said. Amen. Sometimes we, quote, feel like it's silent, but 2,000 years ago, God said what he said. And sometimes it's more time that passes than we're comfortable with, but God said what he said in the book of Matthew. God said what he said in the book of John. God said what he said in Colossians. God said what he said. And it's not that he's silent. It's just he said what he said. Do we have the faith to keep going? And oh, that's not always easy though, right? Anybody been following Jesus for a long time, you're able to testify and say, man, that it's not always easy. Amen. Come on, somebody, be honest. It's not always easy. And I'll testify as a pastor. It's not always easy. You know what the craziest thing is? The craziest thing is I can get up and give a sermon, and it's either because God's been trying to teach me something, or God's like, Philip, you need to listen. Can you live out what you preach and teach? And I'm like, I don't know. That sounds hard. That sounds like a good word for somebody else, but that sounds hard. I'll testify. God said what he said, Philip. God said what he said. Do you have the faith to follow it? That's why the word of God is so important. How can you rest on what God has said if you don't know what he said? That's why the word of God is so valuable. It is our guiding light and truth in moments that we feel are so silent. We can rest upon the word of God because sometimes it's silent before a breakthrough. Verse 8, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. I can relate to that. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests. When the angels had left and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. I mean, I can tell you, if angels showed up and I got a choir concert going on, they're like, you should go find this baby. I agree with the shepherds. I'm like, let's go check this out. This seems to be something we should probably look into. I know it's been 700 years since Isaiah said something, but apparently with what's been presented today, we should probably look into if it's happened or not. That's wild to me. That's wild to me that after 700 years, all of a sudden, boom, angels appear. What felt like such an average day, I mean, can you think about if you're the shepherds, put yourself in the shepherd's shoes, you wake up, it's probably a little stanky, you've been out in the fields. They ain't invented deodorant yet. Out in the fields with some sheep, and you wake up, you have breakfast, and it's an average day, a normal day, a routine day. It's been 700 years since Isaiah said something. It's been 400 years of silence. Today is such an average day, and then boom, angels start appearing. It goes from average to 100 real quick. Come on, man. And that's sometimes how God works. It feels so average, so routine, so normal, and then God moves. And all of a sudden, it's not average, and it's not normal, and it's not routine. And so all of a sudden, God moves after 700 years. But if we're honest, maybe has God told you something? Maybe he's called you something, asking you to do something, and you feel like it hasn't come to pass, and it's easy to lose focus. Now, if God hasn't moved, it's easy to be apathetic. Can we have a little bit of grace? We're people waiting upon the Lord, and it hasn't happened yet. Can we empathize that it's not always easy? Maybe you feel like God didn't move a while back, but it's almost easy to forget what really happened and what he really said, because it's been so long. Look at verse 16. So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word. Underline how they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. I want you to picture this moment. After 700 years of Isaiah saying, this is what is coming, the Prince of Peace, the Wonderful Counselor, after 400 years of radio silence from the living God, what happens is, boom, the angels appear. Jesus is born, just like they've been told it's going to happen. And then Jesus is born, and what does God do for the PR? What does he do for the announcement? He goes and tells a king, right? He goes and tells massive courts. He finds the biggest TikTok influencer he can find. He finds anybody he can to really share the good news. That's who he finds, right? No. He finds some shepherds with some stanky sheep out in a field. And culturally in this time, shepherds are not high on the social totem pole. They're almost outcasts, they're looked down upon, they're not high up in society. After 700 years, after 400 years of silence, God declares the good news to some outcasts. Do you think that was by accident?
No.
I don't think that was by accident. I think God's trying to explain, I've got good news and it's even for outcasts. I've got good news even for people who've been written off by society. I've got good news for people who are overlooked. I've got good news for you who think your life is not important. I've got good news. And so he delivers the good news to people who are overlooked, and they go out and spread the word. The good news of the birth of Jesus, I'm here to tell you, also if you see that word Gentile, what that means is a non-Jewish person. And so if you're not Jewish, I got good news. You're a non-Jewish person, and the birth of Jesus is for you. Amen. It's for everybody. Amen. The birth of Jesus is for everybody. Right. John chapter 3 says, for God so loved the world.
Amen.
The world, that he gave his only son.
Amen.
That whosoever believes shall be saved and not perish, but have everlasting life. The birth of Jesus is this monumental, life-changing, spiritual-shifting moment in humanity.
Amen.
If you're wondering, why do the Christians get so excited? They get so excited at Christmas. They get so excited about Easter. It's because Jesus' life changes everything for us.
Amen.
It's everything for us.
Amen.
This is everything we're resting upon, that Jesus, who says he's the way, the truth, and the life, and that nobody's coming to the Father except through him. He's born to rescue someone like me or you who's trapped in our sin and realize, my goodness, I can't get out of this on my own.
Amen.
If it rests upon me, it's hopeless. But if it rests upon the Prince of Peace and the Wonderful Counselor, then there's hope.
Amen.
And so it's this big news revealed to the outcasts. Look at verse 22. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord. A pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." I like to read the Bible like it's real because I believe it is. Some of you are like, "Wait, what?" Yeah, no, I'll just be honest. Yeah, I believe the Bible's real, and I believe the people in the Bible are real. And I like to try to put myself in their shoes, you know, because they're going through some of the same stuff we'd go through. They'd have some of the same questions we would have. And if I'm Simeon and the Holy Spirit tells me, "You're going to see what Isaiah spoke about 700 years ago. You're going to see it." Can you imagine trying to tell people at a dinner party, "The Messiah is going to be born. I'm going to see him." People be like, "What are you drinking? What's in the eggnog? I'm not real sure about that Simeon guy. That dude's nuts. Yeah, Isaiah said that a long, 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 long time ago, but it hasn't happened. You're crazy." It must not have been easy to be waiting, right? Can you imagine the first day God tells you that? He says, "You're going to see the Messiah." You must have got so excited. You must have been so ecstatic, so pumped. The anticipation of waiting. You're so excited. But then a day goes by. You're like, "That's okay, that's okay. Didn't have to happen the first day." And then a week goes by, and then maybe a year goes by, maybe 5 years goes by, maybe a decade goes by. How long did Simeon have to wait to see what God told him he would see? And as I've gotten older in life, I realized life has so much to do with perspective. If you put yourself in the shoes of Simeon, and God's told you this is what you're going to see, I wonder if the thought ever came through his mind at the end of a day and he's not seen the Messiah. It's just another day of disappointment and God not doing what he said he's going to do. Or I wonder if at the end of every day, Simeon goes, "I'm one day closer to God coming through with what he said he was going to do." Do you understand? The circumstances are the same, but the only difference between those two things is the perspective. I want to ask, in the waiting, do you feel like you're just completing day after day of God not coming through, or do you believe you're one step closer to God coming through and doing what he said he's going to do? Because what God said, he said. What God said, he said. And maybe you're one day closer, but perspective is hard. Anybody who's a little more seasoned in life, can y'all say amen to that? Perspective is not always easy. It can be hard, and you got to fight for it, and it can be a grind, and you've got to choose it day after day, even if your circumstances tell you something else. But every day. And then also, you know, waiting also could be hard, right? You can be waiting for a good thing, but sometimes you can be waiting for something you don't want. You're like, "Really, what's an example?" You ever been online trying to get a question answered from the IRS? I invited some people to church today. They're still waiting on that callback. So, I mean, you can be waiting for a while. Maybe you're in line at the DMV. Or y'all want to talk about something that gets my blood pressure up. Like, I think I've lost years of my life. Atlanta traffic. Come on, y'all. Waiting is not always pleasant. Waiting can be difficult. Waiting can be testing. Waiting can be trying. Waiting, the circumstances you're going through while you're waiting may be hard or difficult. You don't believe me? Well, let's look at the Bible. Look what happens. These are the final verses we're going to look at. Verses 33 says, "The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'This child is destined to call the falling to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul.'" I do want to take a moment before we get into the final point here. Simeon and Mary and Joseph, they came across each other because they were both doing what they were supposed to be doing. Do you know in the waiting, that's some of the hardest things to do is to keep doing what you're supposed to be doing even in the waiting?
Right.
Why were Mary and Joseph at the temple? It's because they were doing what the law called them to do.
Right.
And so they're at the temple. How does Simeon come across them? He's doing what Holy Spirit asked him to do. Sometimes you're going to intersect with some people you're supposed to because you're both doing what you're supposed to be doing. And that's hard in the waiting.
Amen.
So I want to encourage you, don't stop doing what you're supposed to be doing because it may bring you to the intersection of what God has said he's going to do.
Amen.
But keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. Look what happens in verse 36. There was also a prophet, prophetess if you want, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. At this church, we would say she was very seasoned. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward, still waiting to the redemption of Jerusalem. Talked about Simeon putting yourself in his shoes because he's a real person. Put yourself in the shoes of Anna. It's incredible that they describe her as a prophet, which was spiritually one of the highest callings, titles you could give to someone, and she's this prophet. But what had happened in her life? She'd been married for 7 years, and then her husband passed away. You want to talk about pain or grief? That's probably some of the highest pain or grief when you lose a loved one that close to you. Maybe this Christmas season's so hard for you because of the pain or grief. It's why I wish I could talk to some of the people in the Bible. Do you ever wish that you could talk to some of the people in the Bible?
Amen.
Do you read about Anna? See what she had been through. The pain, the grief, the difficulty. And it's described to us that she never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Even in the pain, she was still a prophet. Even in the grief, she's still giving of her time to serve the Lord. Can we just have real talk for a moment? That blows my mind. After everything she had been through, God is still working through her life in a powerful way. But can I tell you, I don't think that she's still worshiping in the temple and fasting and praying because she's a prophet. I don't think she's been living all these years off a talent or gift. She's been living off her relationship with the Lord. Can I tell you, if you're in the waiting, you're not going to make it through the waiting if you're relying on your talent or your gifting.
Amen.
You're not going to make it in the waiting if you're relying on your finances or even another human being. You're going to make it through the waiting if you're relying on the living God alone.
Amen.
And I want to ask, do you have a relationship with the God of the Bible? The one who sent his son, the Prince of Peace, the Wonderful Counselor. Do you have a relationship that can last in the waiting? And Anna, even though she's called a prophet or a prophetess, even though she's got that high standard, that gifting, she's waiting, still worshiping, still seeking the Lord. I can't fathom the difficulty that probably was on certain days. Sometimes when we go through something really hard, it kind of stops us in our moment in history. I wonder how hard it was for Anna to get through the passing of her husband and think, my life's probably done. What do I really have to look forward to? And Anna, at 84, sees the birth of the Messiah that Isaiah talked about 700 years ago. Sometimes despite the pain and the grief, there's still something good coming in the waiting. It doesn't discount the pain or difficulty of what you're going through, but it does mean God's not done. And that's why I just wish I could talk to Anna and see how did she continue on in the waiting after what she had been through. Someone who could praise in spite of the pain. Someone who could give in spite of her grief. And if you look at the life of Simeon or Anna, they have this moment where the waiting was worth it. And it wasn't defined how long that would be. And maybe you're waiting right now. Maybe you've been waiting on the Lord for all kinds of different things. Maybe you're here just to say you went to church, but it's hard for you because you've been hurt. Maybe it's hard because you feel like God's not done what he said he was going to do. Maybe it's even a pastor or church or Christian people who hurt you. Can I just have like an honest talk with you? Like, you know, my name's Philip and I'm a pastor. But pastors aren't perfect people. Like, pastors are supposed to point you to the perfect person, Jesus. And I'm really sorry, like, if you've been hurt by a pastor or by Christians. But I can tell you, church isn't about other Christians. It's about exalting Jesus together. Amen. And I'm really sorry they hurt you, but can I encourage you, it's not about them. It's not about them. They may try to tell you that, but it's not about them. It's about Jesus. And can I encourage you, like, whether you go to church or here or somewhere else, like, don't put a pastor up on a pedestal. Like, that pedestal exists for Jesus Christ alone. Because you're eventually going to find out, for example, if you stay here long enough, like, I'm not a perfect person. And I need Jesus just like you do. And you can't put your trust in other people outside of Jesus. Because Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one is coming to the Father except through me. Amen. That's what Jesus said. Amen. And maybe you're here today, and I want to ask, are you still waiting upon the Lord? Or has it been easy to maybe give up because of the waiting or other people? If I can encourage you with the news that we read about here, the birth of Jesus, waiting upon the Lord is worth it. And it's not easy. Quite frankly, it's hard. But God said what he said. God said what he said. Don't give up. When this kind of waiting presents itself to us, it's worth it. Are you still waiting upon the Lord? And as we close out, I just want us to pray together. Jesus, I thank you that your birth just reminds us that even if it feels silent, even if it feels like it's difficult, even if it feels like it's not happening, we don't trust in our feelings. So God, help us to be people who wait upon you. God, help us to be people who don't trust in our talents. We don't trust in our gifts. We don't even trust in other people, God, but we trust in you alone. And God, even if we feel like you've let us down or it's been painful, we'll remember a story like Anna, that even though she was highly gifted, even though she was highly talented, even though she was called a prophet of the Lord, it didn't exclude her from pain. And she didn't stop waiting and got to see the Messiah before her eyes. Maybe when it's hard in the waiting, we remember Simeon, who was promised something. He heard you say something, but it took time to see it before his very eyes. Help us remember that sometimes it's silent before a breakthrough. And that, Lord, sometimes we just need to find encouragement in the Word of God, remembering what you have said and saying, I will trust in you and not myself. I will trust in you and not other people. I will trust in the Lord alone. So Jesus, we ask that you'll just continually come and work in our life. Continue to move in our life. Holy Spirit, lead us just like you led Simeon into the promises of God, the ways of God. Let us not lean on our own understanding, but acknowledge you in all of our ways. Give strength to those who are grieving. Give strength to those who are hurting. Let us follow you in all of our ways, Jesus. In your your name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you want to come forward, the altar's open. The prayer team's going to be available on the sides. But let's seek the Lord above all.